Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Bucks podcast, joining you once again. Your Milwaukee Bucks continue to be the best team in the NBA. A game and a half better than the Toronto Raptors. Two games better than the Golden State Warriors. They just win everything in sight. They've won all four games since we last chatted. They're 39-13. We're going to talk about at least one of those games. A really fun, special performance in Toronto when the Bucks took down the Raptors to win the season series 3-1. Convincing win in Toronto that was the highlight of these past four games. Other than that, they took care of business all on the road. They've been road warriors here. They'll return home tonight as you're hearing this on Wednesday against the Washington Wizards, a team that the Bucks just defeated on the road as well. And then they'll hit the road Friday to go take on Dallas before coming back Orlando on Saturday, Chicago on Monday. I've got Matt Velasquez, Journal Sentinel beat reporter covering the Milwaukee Bucks on the other line. Matt, are you you've been traveling all over the place? How are you feeling now that you're back in Milwaukee and have your legs underneath you a little bit?
I'm happy to be home. It was fine on the road. Lots of traveling, a lot of crisscrossing the country, travel delays. Super cold weather, kind of like you guys had here, and then I topped it off with a beautiful day in New York City where it was like in the 50s, so I'm rejuvenated, I'm refreshed, I'm ready to go, and happy to be home.
Bucks took care of the Brooklyn Nets while you were visiting, and like you said, now coming home for this game on Wednesday. Want to talk about the games, but there's more to discuss beyond that. The trade deadline, the NBA trade deadline, is coming up on Thursday, and the Bucks might be active there. Hard to know for sure, but one thing we think we know for sure is that Anthony Davis is not coming to the Bucks, despite everybody's excitement that popped up on Monday when Davis announced a list of four teams that he would consider signing an extension with. The Bucks were on that list, along with the Clippers, the Knicks, and the Lakers, three big market teams that you figure would be in the mix for something like this. I know you've written about it, Matt. You've written about what the Bucks might do at the trade deadline. That's at jsonline.com. You've written about Anthony Davis, specifically in the past, why that's not going to happen, particularly why it's not going to happen before this trade deadline. But I want to revisit it a little bit. We've talked about how they don't have the draft picks because of the way the rules are set up. The Bucks really can't give away any draft picks until like 2024, I believe is correct. So they're handicapped in what they can give, and they probably can't match what like the Knicks or the Lakers could give in a deal for Anthony Davis. I guess to in your mind, what are the two or three just stumbling blocks that people simply must know are standing in the way of an Anthony Davis deal? And on the other side of that, is there any optimism that the Bucks could get him, if not in the immediate future, at some point in this upcoming offseason?
Well, I think the stumbling blocks are just that the Pelicans are looking for a huge haul, and the Bucks don't have the things to offer. I mean, they can't trade a first round pick until 2024. Realistically, they have a bunch of second round picks, but Anthony Davis is so much better than just second round picks. And then all their top level talent in terms of the Bucks, those guys are on expiring deals. And regardless of the fact, hypothetically the Bucks traded them Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe and Brooke Lopez in a deal for Anthony Davis, why would any of those guys want to stay with the Pelicans? Sure, the Pelicans could throw them a ton of money and be able to re-sign them and maybe throw a max at Middleton or whatever, but they that team wouldn't win. I mean, you just don't have enough down there. You're not going to attract any new free agents. It's like, hey, you want to go down to New Orleans and play with, like, not Giannis and and play in the West? Like, no, I'll go re-sign somewhere else because I'm an unrestricted free agent and I can do whatever I want. And so the Pelicans wouldn't have any assurance that those guys would stay. And so it just doesn't make any sense. The one good thing about this whole situation, and while it totally might have been a ploy by Anthony Davis, Rich Paul, Clutch Sports, to kind of throw off the idea that Anthony Davis only wants to play for the Lakers by sending out this list of teams he would sign with. You know, it could totally be a ploy. It could totally be just like a move to, very in a calculated fashion, say, oh, how about we'd play? I'd sign for the Clippers because they're in LA too. I'd sign with a bunch of big markets. I'd sign with the small market but really good, like Milwaukee Bucks. Like it's like whatever. Like I think that list is meaningless. I think he still actually really only wants to go to the Lakers. It's kind of just a smokescreen. But at the very least, it's good for the Bucks. Like for the Bucks to be mentioned by a former like top three MVP player, you know, as a team that he would be willing to re-sign with, like, it just kind of gives credit to the Bucks and their organization, their front office, their roster, their coach, like everything that they've created, something that at least like on paper, an MVP caliber player says, hey, I see what they're doing and I will at least, you know, pretend that I want to go sign there. Like at the very least, like the words that he, like, you know, as part of the list was teams I would re-sign with, like, and the Bucks are one of them. And that's nice. Like it's good to be on that list. You'd rather be on that list than not on that list. You'd rather be the Bucks than the Celtics, who at every turn, you know, Rich Paul and Anthony Davis are saying, you know, no Celtics, never the Celtics, not staying with the Celtics. You know, and so it's good to be the Bucks, and maybe that'll help them in the future in the free agent market. Maybe not with Anthony Davis, but with somebody else who you might not expect to come to Milwaukee as a free agent, where they just say, oh, hey, like I like everything the Bucks are doing culture-wise, roster-wise, you know, organization-wise. They treat their players right. I want to go and play for that team. And so that's the hope if you're a Bucks fan that you know, whether it's Anthony Davis or someone else, that in the future, you know, a free agent will come to what has normally been a not really a destination for free agents.
It's striking to me that the Pelicans, and you've kind of stressed this before, they don't have to trade Anthony Davis. They're going to ask for the moon, and if they don't get it, they don't have to move him, and they probably shouldn't move him. So, you know, you heard that the Lakers have backed out because the demands are just ridiculous. Like something like 6 draft picks was floated at one point, which I'm sure will not be in the final bill. But, you know, it's also silly to me that the Lakers would actually back out entirely. I'm sure there's going to be a dialogue, and I'm sure that it seems like there's mutual interest between Anthony Davis's camp and the Lakers camp to make this happen. But I'm sure the Pelicans, they don't want to. I'm sure they're feeling some pressure about that too. They don't want to be just the hand that feeds the Los Angeles Lakers and turns them back into a dynasty. So, the long and short of that is the Bucks will never have enough to compete with this. Like this isn't a situation where they need to trade the player immediately, and so the you know you'll end up bargain hunting by the end of these negotiations because the Pelicans will eventually be forced to move. They are not in position where they're forced to move Anthony Davis. So it's not as if the Bucks will eventually have enough because other teams have backed out or for whatever reason just aren't interested. You know, I'm really struck by that. It does seem like he put the Bucks on a list because he knew they had no path to get him as a way of almost like, you know, promoting himself and saying, look, I like little market teams, why not the Bucks, when it's pretty clear they don't have any of the ammunition to get him.
Right. And it's, you know, but it's good. Like it's fine. Like the Bucks have been very intentional about not calling the Pelicans. They don't want to get involved in this sweepstakes. They know that they aren't gonna get them. So why put your players through that? Where, right. You know, because this whole thing, like, things are gonna get leaked. If you call and you're offering something, like, the world's gonna know. And so, you know, I think it's smart of them to, if they know they're not gonna get them, hey, let's just not call. Let's not be involved. Let's just like stay away. You know, kind of the old phrase, not my clowns, not my circus. Like, just kind of stay away. The one trade that is interesting, though, is the Philadelphia 76ers trade, like, which I, you know, full disclosure, I went to bed. I came off that road trip, and yes, I'm rejuvenated now, but I needed a night in my own bed. And woke up this morning, and I thought, whoa, that is something.
Will the ghost of the Tobias Harris trade ever stop haunting the Milwaukee Bucks? I feel like Tobias Harris is destined to do something that breaks the hearts of Bucks fans. And if he's back in Philadelphia, and that's kind of the position where the Bucks are, where they're the team that everybody's chasing, a very strange position to be in. You know, they're probably not interested in doing any major overhauls or even necessarily tweaks to their roster. But there's room to grow in Philadelphia and Boston and these other places that are, you know, going to try to catch up. And Philly, if they're getting Tobias Harris and Boban, that's a pretty good haul for them, and that's going to theoretically make them much more dangerous to the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about that is, you know, we'll see how it plays out in Philly, but it looks like it's just Elton Brand saying, hey, you know what? You know, we're going all in. Like, forget trying to figure out how we're going to form this team for the future. You know, that's future Elton Brand's problem. Like, we're gonna go right now and try and just take the East, you know, and with that starting lineup of Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick and Joel Embiid, I mean, that's about as stacked of a starting lineup as you're going to find. I mean, they're not going to have a ton of depth off their bench, but in the playoffs, you know, depth is something that sometimes can be overrated. It's not going to be as big of a deal if you're going to be playing your starters, you know, high 30s or 40 minutes a night. So we'll have to see how they mesh together. Obviously, Butler and Harris will need to get paid this summer. Do they bring both of them back? Do they bring one of them back? Do they bring none of them back? I mean, you know, we'll have to see how that shakes out. But I think the big thing for the Bucks is that if this Sixers team ends up being as, you know, formidable over the last, you know, 30 games or so as you think they might be, then if you're the Bucks, you want to stay as that one seed in the East. You need to you know, make sure you stay up there, because you would expect that the Sixers might be able to get up to the three seed or even the two. I don't know if they have time to get up to the two, but if the Raptors fall off a little bit and the Sixers get hot, you know, you want to avoid them for as long as possible. So you want to make sure that in the playoffs, you know, you can win the first round, maybe get the Celtics in the second round, which, again, the Celtics are not like pushovers. That's a tough team with tons of talent in their own right. So you want to just kind of try to position yourself as best as possible. And if you can avoid Philly and Toronto until the Eastern Conference Finals, I mean, I think that's a win.
Yeah, for those who aren't aware of all the machinations of this deal, the reports suggest that Tobias Harris will be coming to the Sixers, Boban Marjanovic, Mike Scott as well. Lots of draft picks going the other direction to the Los Angeles Clippers, as well as Landry Shamet, Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala. So certainly something that could alter the face of the Eastern Conference playoff chase. What do you think the Bucks are going to do on this trade deadline? Is it going to be as quiet as it seems it would be, or do you anticipate that Milwaukee is going to be pretty active?
I mean, I think they will be active in the sense that they've been making calls, that they've been kind of doing their due diligence, trying to find a deal. But I think the deal might be more on the fringes. I mean, you're not going to – I don't think they're trying to find anybody that would displace any of their starters, you know, unless they were trying to move on from Malcolm Brogdon or something like that, who, you know, in terms of value, a guy like Malcolm – he's on his rookie deal, and so he is a restricted free agent this summer. So if a team wanted to bring him back, he'd be the easiest to theoretically bring back compared to somebody like, you know, a starter like Middleton, Bledsoe, or Lopez. Those guys will be unrestricted free agents, and they can just walk. So you never, you know, it makes it harder to trade somebody like that or to receive someone like that without the assurance that they'll stay. And so I don't know that. I don't know that the Bucks would move any of those guys anyway, just because of how much they mean to the team this year. So I don't see any starter level guys being displaced. I think that's unlikely. But you know, when you think about the depth and the opportunity to, you know, add some bench depth or add some more shooting or a little bit more physical size, you might see that. I think that my gut tells me that Thon Maker might be moving, that he might be going somewhere else. And it's not because, you know, he says he wants to and that he's demanded his way out or anything like that. You know, I think it's because he's the best asset the Bucks have, you know, in terms of his contract and his potential, where he's still in the third year of his rookie deal. He's under contract for next year as well. So whatever team gets him will have him for this year and next year and be able to possibly bring him back as a restricted free agent. He's proven himself in the playoffs. He's 7 feet tall and can shoot. So that's, I mean, that's definitely a valuable skill set. And you look at the rest of the Bucks young guys, and they just don't have that same league-wide understood, like, value and potential. Like, yes, DJ Wilson has been a great story for the Bucks this year and has really stepped up. But I don't think the rest of the league values him as much as they value Thon, just because they've seen what Thon can do, and he has more physical size than DJ does, and he's proven it at the playoff level multiple times. So he could potentially be someone who's on the move. Obviously, if you want to bring back someone, you know, with a big name or a bigger name who could fit into the rotation immediately, you're going to have to send out more salary with Thon, because you're probably going to need that person probably being paid more, so you need to kind of match salaries. So it'll be interesting to see how the Bucks might decide to do that. But at the end of the day, they're not going to do anything that they don't think is good for the short and long term. Like, they're trying to kind of build this thing to be a sustained high-level team. And if they can't find a good deal, whether it's for Thonmaker or for anyone else, they're just not going to do it.
The since we last chatted, we've had some All-Star game developments. Chris Middleton was in fact named the Bucks' second representative. Not that we knew for sure there was going to be a second representative, but he was named to the Eastern Conference All-Star team. You wrote a lot about him at jsonline.com. Pretty cool story. First time All-Star. He's obviously very excited to have achieved that benchmark, and it's pretty cool to see him as happy as he is. Eric Bledsoe was not named, and not named an injury replacement for Victor Oladipo. That honor went to D'Angelo Jackson of the Brooklyn Nets.
D'Angelo Russell.
I said D'Angelo Jackson, didn't I? That I believe is a former prep star at Milwaukee Pius, or I think maybe there was another D'Angelo Jackson in college basketball. I don't know, but D'Angelo Russell,
the missing member of the Jackson Five.
The missing number of the Jackson Five. That's right. Formerly of D'Angelo Russell of Ohio State, and now the Nets. And you know, the Bucks then went and beat the Nets, so I guess that's a little bit of retribution there. It's a bummer for Eric Bledsoe, but then also on Tuesday we learned that Chris Middleton's going to be in the three-point competition, which dashes our dreams of seeing Brook Lopez, seven-footer, performing in the three-point competition. But I was kind of surprised to see him there. I mean, he's obviously a good shooter, so that's not it's not like he'd be an awkward fit for that. But what were your thoughts when you saw that Chris Middleton was about to be in the three-point competition?
You know, I was a little surprised. I didn't even realize. You know, I was just getting home from the road trip, and I didn't realize they were naming those guys on Tuesday night. So I had to scramble a little bit. You know, but at the same time, like, he's done it before. He was in that competition in 2016. He's shooting 38% from three this season. He's around 40% for his career. They expanded the field to 10 shooters, so you know he's somebody who's already there, who's definitely a great 3-point shooter. And so why not put him in there? Plus, they've kind of put an emphasis on people who are from Charlotte or nearby Charlotte. You know, Steph Curry and Seth Curry will be shooting. Kemba Walker will be shooting. And so, you know, Chris Middleton being from South Carolina, from Charleston, and being somewhat close, but I think it's like a three and a half hour drive, having him compete in that while, you know, being so close to home, you know, that's a pretty special thing. And so, I mean, it makes sense for me. I think him being an All-Star was something that was well-deserved. You know, and I think Bledsoe, too, was deserving. And you could definitely make the argument that he was more deserving than D'Angelo Russell. And, you know, Bledsoe said all the right things after the game against the Nets, saying that, no, it wasn't about D'Angelo Russell, and he's very deserving and all that stuff. But, you know, the way that he played that night seemed a little inspired, and he put a little extra into his effort, especially that double crossover spin move on D'Angelo Russell for a layup. And Giannis, you know, Giannis picked up on that. He was like, oh yeah, no, he was definitely bringing something extra. Like, he could have taken he could have taken the lane on that first crossover, and he didn't. He could have taken the lane on the second crossover, and he didn't. And then he did the spin move. So he enjoyed it. He thought he should have been an All-Star. At one point, I think it was in Detroit. I was talking to Bled about All-Star and, you know, the possibility of him and Chris maybe making it and all that stuff. And whenever he was done, Giannis was like, oh, Bledsoe, if you don't make it, you can take my spot. I'll go to the Bahamas. So I don't know if that'll actually come to pass. I don't think the NBA would be very happy about that, considering that Giannis is a captain. But the Bucks, you know, and also you didn't even mention Mike Budenholzer will be the coach.
Oh, that's right.
Which the Bucks clinched after
Toronto.
After beating the Raptors. And so, you know, the players, I could hear a pretty loud, you know, cheer from the locker room. I think that had to do with Budenholzer. You know, he's a little bummed. You can't blame him, because he had planned a Costa Rican vacation. And I've been to Costa Rica, and it's lovely. I've also been to Charlotte, and I prefer Costa Rica. So, you know, there's a little twinge of being bummed, but he's proud to be representing the Bucks and going to All-Star weekend, and most of all having the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference. I think that means the most to him.
Yes, for those who don't know, Mike Budenholzer was not in charge of making the injury replacement selection. That fell to Commissioner Silver, so it wasn't like Budenholzer chose Russell over Eric Bledsoe. You know that he would have brought his guy if he had that call. So that will be cool. The Bucks. Oh, go ahead.
We have one more addition to this just from this morning.
How about Ray Allen, buddy?
Ray Allen and Mark Lazary.
Like you said, the NBA Jam. You were the great tweet, the NBA Jam team you didn't know you needed, the Milwaukee Bucks in the, what is that game called? The Legends and Celebrity Game, or what is that called?
I think the official name is the All-Star Celebrity Game presented by Ruffles.
I love Ruffles.
So that's the official name. Mark Lazary is a stalwart. I think that's 4 years in a row playing in that game. Ray Allen's joining him on the same team. Gets a Bucks representation. They've also the most important thing for that team, though, is that they have Quavo, last year's MVP. You know, Quavo can ball, so that really helps. And you know, Ray Allen is a gamer, as we all know. So that'll be fun.
Mark Lazary, when he bought this team, there's no way in my mind that he didn't know within like the first 10 minutes that would be a perk of the job, that he could, if he wanted to, show up at All-Star Weekend and perform in the Celebrity Game. Because 4 years in a row tells me this is something the dude looks forward to every year.
Oh, yeah. No, he loves it. It might even be his fifth year in a row. Like, he's been doing it for so long. As soon as it just be presented by Mark Lazary, like forget Ruffles.
he can like, do it, yeah.
Sure. I mean, he has the funds. He enjoys it. He likes to get up and down. You know, he played in college for a little bit at Clark. And, you know, I don't know how we got onto such a long-winded Mark Lazary Celebrity Game conversation, but here we are.
We should definitely have him on the podcast just to talk exclusively about his basketball game. Not about anything else. Not about the team, finances, blah, 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 blah. Let's talk about his game. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm down.
I didn't even know Ruffles was still a thing. I guess I passed them in the grocery aisle. I used to eat Ruffles all the time when I was a child and pretty much only ate junk food. But now I didn't realize it was still a big name brand. But I guess we'll find that out on All-Star Weekend, where the Bucks, as you said, will be well represented. Going back to that game in Toronto, when Mike Budenholzer clinched his role as the Eastern Conference or Team Giannis coach, the Bucks taking care of business against a very good Raptors team, and man, was that a fun game. That's about the most fun I've had watching a Bucks game start to finish this season. Milwaukee prevailed 105-92. The Raptors made a push at the end. The Bucks countered and able to hold them off. It was just an awesome stat sheet. I mean, so many guys in double figures. Middleton, Giannis, Lopez, Brogdon, Bledsoe, Hill, George Hill with 10 points. DJ Wilson with 16 points. He continues to be the hero we need. DJ Wilson. And Giannis with 19, 9, and 5. I mean, Chris Middleton, 18, 6, and 4 on the stat sheet. It was just, man, like, I just am curious your couple takeaways from that game, because that was just a really fun experience.
Yeah, it was an incredibly impressive performance. I mean, they got up by 24 in the third quarter against a fully healthy, fully stocked Raptors team, which...
It was a boat race.
Yeah, they were crushing them. They were absolutely crushing them. They were getting everything they wanted. They were shooting really well, defending at a high level. And it just, you know, then, of course, you know, the Raptors came back. They made a really strong punch, got within six a couple times. But every time they got within six, you know, the Bucks had an answer, whether it was a DJ Wilson three or, you know, a Brook Lopez and Giannis block of Kawhi on a fast break. Or, you know, you name it, they had the answer each time. And it was just a really, you know, kind of gutty, you know, strong performance there at the end to kind of hold strong in a really tough environment. Air Canada Center, I guess it's not Air Canada Center anymore, but Scotiabank Arena, but I'll keep calling it Air Canada Center. It's huge. There's like, it almost fits like 20,000. It was sold out. It was a playoff type atmosphere. Once, you know, once the Raptors started to make it close, it got really loud in there. You know, just a tough place to play, tough place to win. And the Bucks, you know, were up to the task, and I was really impressed. You know, Giannis, as always, you know, had a really good game, stood out. But Chris Middleton, I mean, going up against Kawhi for a lot of that game, you know, and he, I think he got the better of him. I mean, I think it's hard to argue otherwise. You know, Kawhi had 16 points on 7 of 20 shooting, and Chris was on him a lot. Chris was 7 of 9 for 18 points. I mean, so like, you know, Kawhi never really got into a rhythm, never really looked himself. And then at the other end, you know, Middleton was going up against him, you know, making baseline jumpers and kind of just getting into his comfort zones and doing some really good work. And, you know, so on the night that he becomes an all-star, he goes up against a former finals MVP and a perennial all-star. And, you know, he looks the part. Yeah, he looks like his equal and his match, and it was just really impressive from him. DJ Wilson, you know, career high 16 points. The moment wasn't too big for him. Hitting clutch shots, pulling down rebounds, you know, really helping out, because Giannis spent a lot of that game in foul trouble, only played 28 minutes. You know, he had five fouls, and DJ was one of those guys who had to bridge the gap. And he did that, you know, with aplomb, as they say.
I come away from that game and I just think the Bucks are better than the Raptors, and that's probably unfair to say. And obviously the Raptors were able to win at Pfizer Forum, as and not many teams have this season, but that's 3 out of 4. They get the tiebreaker. The Bucks just, like, I mean they're just really the best team in the East, and it's, I don't know if it's particularly close. I don't know if any team is going to be able to beat them twice all season. Oklahoma City will be one of the few teams that has a chance to emerge from the season without suffering a loss to the Bucks after OKC won the first meeting, but they got to come to Milwaukee next time around. The Bucks are on track. They could very well beat every team in the NBA this season at least once. And man, you know, again, I go back to who's going to beat this team 4 out of 7 games when we get into the postseason. And I'm sure you could still say the Warriors are the answer to that question, but I'm just so continually so impressed with what they're able to do against this elite competition. And I just don't think there's a team out there, especially in the Eastern Conference, that's going to be able to beat the Bucks 4 times in 7 games.
Yeah, and the important thing for the Bucks is that they really need to take care of business over the next month. They have a pretty soft schedule coming up. I mean, we start with the Wizards tonight on Wednesday. Yeah, Wizards at Dallas, where Dallas is a lot better at home, but they're still, you know, not world beaters. And then you get the Magic at home, then at the Bulls, at the Pacers, and that Pacers game takes on a different vibe with Oladipo being out. Those 5 games before the All-Star break are all eminently winnable. And so you can try and clean up. Even if you only win 4 out of 5 of those, I mean, that's a really strong stretch. That's going to put you at, 43 wins before the All-Star break, which is a really strong place to be in.
That's more wins than a lot of playoff Bucks teams have had in whole seasons.
Oh yeah. And if the Bucks win all 5 of these going into the All-Star break, they'll match their season win total from last year and be on a 9-game win streak heading into the break. I mean, it's not impossible. That's something that we could see happen. I don't know if that's the most likely outcome, but you know, I think it's possible. And so then you really set yourself up in a great position. They're already up 5 games on the Celtics, 5 games on the Pacers, 6 games on the Sixers. As if you can just continue cutting down the opportunities for those teams to surpass you, if you can be that number one overall team in the Eastern Conference and have that home court advantage and be able to go against, you know, the 8 seed and whoever's going to be, Charlotte, Miami, Detroit, Washington, like none of the, like, if you're the Bucks, you don't fear any of those teams. I mean, you should be able to win that whatever series in 4, you know, 5 games, if not 4. And then you can kind of set yourself up against, you know, whoever eventually shakes out of the Raptors, Celtics, and Sixers as that 4 seed, and kind of just hope for, you know, the smoothest possible path to Eastern Conference Finals. And you'll be doing so, you know, that having won the season series against at least the Raptors. They have an opportunity to win the season series against the Celtics when Boston comes to Pfizer Forum in the first game after the All-Star break. And then there are 2 games against the Sixers over the final few weeks of the season, one at Pfizer Forum on March 17th, and then one in Philly on April 4th that maybe, you know, could determine the tiebreaker. So that'll be an interesting close to the season, but the Bucks definitely have a nice setup in terms of putting themselves in the best position possible for the playoffs.
Once again, the Bucks will host the Washington Wizards at Pfizer Forum tonight. That's Wednesday. They'll be back in action on the road Friday against Dallas, at home again against Orlando that Saturday, and then Monday turn around and go to Chicago, back on the road for a game against the Bulls. And then it's the Pacers on Wednesday. That'll be a pretty important game, a pretty good Eastern Conference team on the road. That again on Wednesday, February 13th. Before we get out of here, I'm going to do my weekly check-in on the MVP race between James Harden and Giannis. And I know that you'll tell me there are other people I can't count out, and I'm sure that is still true. But I thought, as much as I want Giannis to win this thing, this Harden streak that he's on is just preposterous. We said many podcasts ago, I think you said, well, the current rate, he's going to do all this stuff. And I'm like, well, that's not sustainable, so it doesn't matter. But okay, it's sustainable. James Harden is unbelievable. You have Kobe coming out this week and saying that may not be the best path to a title. Kobe probably didn't watch last year's playoffs when Houston was like within breathing distance of going to the NBA Finals and beating the Golden State Warriors. And so I'm not quite sure why he feels that way exactly. But I think this is slipping away, Matt. I don't know. I think James Harden is running away with this MVP from a national perspective. It seems like everyone is just looking at Harden. Do you agree with that, or is this narrative that maybe he can't quite his performance isn't leading to team success? You know, never mind the injuries that Houston has had. Do you think that's something that could still be pervasive and keep our boy Giannis in the mix?
I mean, it's going to go down to the wire. I think you know, Harden averaging, you know, 36.5 points per game is unreal. I mean, he is doing so much to keep that team afloat. And, you know, there's already been a precedent set. I mean, they're the fifth seed in the West. Like, it's not like they're terrible. Like, you know, they're 31 and 22 as of right now. They're keeping pace in the very difficult Western Conference. You know, they're only a game out of fourth. So, you know, he's been just otherworldly in what he's had to do. He's doing it in a way that's, you know, it's different than we've seen. But he's still shooting 37% on threes. He's getting to the free throw line 11.8 times per game and making like 86, more than almost 87% of his free throws, eight assists, 6.8 rebounds. You know, he's doing a ton. And I think that, you know, we thought it wasn't sustainable. Apparently it is. We'll see how, you know, it keeps progressing. You know, I think it's going to be, you know, neck and neck. I think the voting base might skew Harden just because of how hard the Western Conference is. And if he's able to get the Rockets to be a top four seed in the West with all the injuries, with everything they've gone through, and he's putting up just like super duper numbers, especially his point totals, I think he might get it. I mean, but Giannis is still very much in that race. I think he's, you know, presumptively one or two almost on everyone's list, just because he plays for the best team in the NBA and he's the best player on that team. And he's, you know, he's playing within the system. You know, he's not trying to do anything crazy. He's just creating offensively either for himself or his teammates. Yeah, he's scoring inside the restricted area and in the paint at rates we haven't really seen since Shaq. And you know, those things are impressive in their own right. And it just depends on kind of how you feel about the situation, whether you are more impressed and you believe Giannis is more valuable for what he does for the Bucks, or, you know, James Harden, what he's doing is just, you know, really kind of taking your imagination and making you more impressed with him. So I think that right now, I think it's too close to call. I might still lean Giannis, but I'm not leaning as far. I'm more close to neutral, and it's going to be a fun like final, you know, 28 or so games.
He is Matt Velasquez. He's crushing your dreams about Anthony Davis in a Bucks uniform, but he did make an NBA Jam reference on Twitter today, which makes me feel a little bit less old by comparison. He also covers your Milwaukee Bucks for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you for joining us, Matt. We look forward to chatting with you again next week.
All right, can't wait.
Listen to the Bucks Journal Sentinel podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Leave us a rating or review. Let us know what you think. Give a review in Apple Podcasts would be great. Or find me on Twitter. My name again is J.R. Radcliffe at J.R.R.A.D.C.L.I.F.F.E. Heck, you could find Matt Velasquez on Twitter too and tell him what you think. Matt_Velasquez, VelAzQuez. Check out the Badgers podcast, the Brewers podcast, Packers podcast. It's all there for you. Journal Sentinel produces them all. They've got some cool stuff coming up about the Badgers with the NCAA tournament forthcoming. A big look back at the 99-2000 team that went to the Final Four. So check that out. Subscribe to it. And and that'll help us out a great deal. Brewers, of course, heading into the preseason, so it's getting to the point of spring training right around the corner. You're going to want to be checking in with what's going on there. For Matt Velasquez, I'm J.R. Radcliffe. Thanks for joining us. We will chat with you again next week.